Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 through to 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his Son, his own Son, in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children, God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thanks, Sam. Good on you for getting along to church today, New Year's Eve. And like said, Sam said, you've worked out what day of the week it is. So good on you. I'm Andrew. I'm on staff here at Hana Bible Church. And similar to Sam, if you're visiting, welcome. Great to have you here today. Ethan, you've picked a great time of year to come and visit Newcastle. I love this part of Newcastle in between Christmas and New Year's. There's lots of people just head out of town. And so the streets are quiet. It's easy to get into the shops. There's thunderstorms threatening large damaging hailstones every second day. What's not to like? How's 2023 been for you though, anyway? Has it been a good year? Things feel like this year have been back to normal. I feel like we're beyond that shadow that's been left by the COVID pandemic, and things seem to be relatively normal. COVID's still around, people still getting it, but there's that fear of that the pandemic. Is it really going to blow out? Has seemed to have gone. 2023 year though has also had its own stresses, hasn't it? Rising interest rates have been adding dollars to the grocery bill, to the mortgage repayments, to rental prices. More broadly, in the world, there's the continuing war in Ukraine, and we're now seeing a reignition of the war between Israel and Palestine. So there are still things that are just horrible going on in the world. Maybe your stresses are perhaps close to home though. Maybe you've had health issues this year. Maybe you've had relationship challenges. Well, as we are about to usher in a new year, often with a sense of hitting that big reset button, how may we stop and pray and consider the reality of the risen Lord Jesus in all of this? Pray with me. Gracious Father, as we come and sit at your feet and spend time in your word, please let us grow in knowledge and love of you. May we see clearly our identity in your Son, Jesus, so that we might live for you as we await his return. Amen. Hitting the reset button as a new year rolls around, or making New Year's resolutions, it's usually about striving for a better life, isn't it? I want to have a better year next year, or I want to be a better person next year than what I have been this year. A longing for things to be better. For me, I'm looking for less discomfort, less pain, and more joy. When I want to make changes or implement things in my life, that's what I'm after. Less pain, more joy. This is reflected in the way that I like to be organized around the place. So I like the phrase, everything has a place and everything in its place. If you ask my family, they're likely to tell you that there's probably times that I perhaps overreach that and organize their things. But this desire to be organized is often misinterpreted as highly motivated or really disciplined. But I am sometimes controlling. But I can tell you, it's really just this desire for less pain, more joy. You see, I'm the sort of person that when I walk into the house, I've got the same spot for my sunglasses and my car keys. And that's because I don't want the pain of looking for them the next time I leave the house. I know where they are, I can get them, and I'm out the door. Less pain, more joy. I made 2 coffees for myself first thing in the morning. I split the pour, you know, coffee machine comes out 2, cup under 1, thermos mug under the other. I 1 for my daily wake-up medicine and the other one into the thermos because I don't want the pain of working out where I'm going to get my next fix from. I've just got it there with me. Less pain, more joy. But things go wrong. Not everything goes to plan. I can start with the best of intentions and I can still end up in places of frustration. There are those days that we run out of coffee beans. They are not good days. Or adding something to the shopping list using Siri, and then when I'm at the supermarket and I have no idea while I have Call Leonie on my shopping list. Now I can blame other people for using up the coffee beans and not replacing them. Or I can blame Siri when I don't have those cannelloni tubes in the cupboard. But a bit closer to home is when I start out with the best of intentions, but it's my fault that things don't go to plan. I decide to call my parents, check up on them. Go grab my phone, I see there's a few messages, so I'll answer those couple of messages. Oh, while I'm here, I'll just make sure there's no messages over on my socials as well. I forget that I was actually going to call mum and dad and check in on them. Or I determine I'm not going to stay up late watching Netflix. I'll just watch one episode. You know, I need to switch off for the night, get the brain, stop thinking. Before I know it, it's past midnight. That alarm is only 6 hours away. And I start thinking to myself, yeah, okay, I'll skip the gym in the morning. That'll bump it up to 7 hours sleep that I can get. I'll make up that gym session later on. Gee, I hope we have not run out of coffee beans. Are you with me on these sorts of things? Do you find yourself doing the things you said you wouldn't, not doing the things that you told yourself you would? I think this is a pretty normal experience for most people, if you're honest. Now, the Apostle Paul knew this exact dilemma when he wrote about it in Romans 7. So let's just take a quick look at that, because that's really helpful context for the passage that Sam read for us in Romans 8. So hope you still got that open. Just flick back a page, Romans 7, and follow along with me from verse 15. Paul is saying this: I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is why New Year's resolutions are a good idea, aren't they? The turning of a new leaf, hitting the reset button, rallying the self-will to be a better person in 2024 with less pain, more joy, because it's just frustrating, isn't it? Well, the world tries to have some helpful advice here. The gym that I go to has a nice little play on words. Should be up on the screen. Took me like a couple of months to work this one out. Do it, don't quit. I had to see the bold in amongst the letters. Or there's this one, train insane or remain the same. Pretty simple stuff. I guess they can't get too wordy on the wall of the gym. And there is some truth to these inspirational quotes. You change usually does require some efforts, doesn't it? And this idea of self-improvement isn't bad in and of itself. But as Christians, if we buy into this as the only way to self-improvement, there's a high chance that we'll end up disappointed and probably in the possession of an unused gym membership. And this is true, not just because it fits with my talk, but we know this from experience, don't we? So I qualify for my bowel cancer screening kit next year. And as many New Year's resolutions I've made over the years, I can tell you, I'm my own worst enemy. I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? I can really relate. Well, friends, fortunately, Paul doesn't leave us, all the Romans, in this quandary. He showed us that we do have hope of change. And this is what we'll spend the rest of our time looking at here in Romans 8. But it is particular hope for Christians only. Now, if that's you, then listen closely. We don't want to be putting our hope or misplacing our hope in the wrong thing. But if you resonate with this dilemma of this internal frustration, and if you find this idea of a hope outside of yourself appealing, and you don't consider yourself a Christian, then listen along, because the answer is simple. Paul says it this way, "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." The answer is Jesus. Now, Romans 8 unpacks two particular things about Jesus that show us why we have this hope in him. He's reminding Christians in Rome and he's reminding Christians us today that one, in Jesus there is no condemnation, and two, that we are in Jesus. Christians are united with Jesus. He is our identity, not any constructed identity that we make for ourselves just to make ourselves feel better. So let's unpack these two now. In Jesus, there is no condemnation, and we are in Jesus. We have a new identity. So come with me, Romans 8, verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." See, there in Jesus, there is no condemnation. Sounds good. But what does condemnation actually mean? How do we then understand no condemnation? All right, well, let's think of someone who's been found guilty of a crime. Perpetrator is sentenced to death, and the particular punishment for their crime in some jurisdictions is a death penalty. And now it's those facing the death penalty that are said to be condemned to death. Condemnation is guilt that leads to death. Now, if you're anything like me, then you're probably quite familiar with his internal guilt of not doing the things that you know are good and right, and then doing the things that you know are wrong. But in the absence of Jesus, we're also found guilty in the eyes of God, leading to judgment and death, condemnation. Earlier in Romans, Paul showed that whether a Jew or not, we are all guilty in God's eyes. It'll be up on the screen. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. There is no one who does good, not even one. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law, that is, being a good person. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. This is the law of sin and death, condemnation, that Paul is saying is no more for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's read that again in Romans 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. The penalty of death for sin has already been paid. There is no condemnation for a Christian because the death penalty has been served by Jesus. But what about my contribution to my failed marriage? No, no condemnation. What about my inability to stop my wandering eye, the lure of naked bodies? No, no condemnation. What about this hatred that I just have towards this particular person? I know I shouldn't, but no. No condemnation means exactly that. There is no scale here. There is no partial condemnation. There is no partial death row. You're either on death row or you're not. You're either condemned. Well, you're not. And for those who are in Jesus, Paul is saying here there is no condemnation, none, zip, nada. And this is no small thing because as we now think about the new year ahead, let's not get bogged down in guilt. Guilt for not being the person God wants us to be. Guilt for not doing the things God wants us to do. Guilt for the things that we did find ourselves thinking and saying and doing that we know God didn't want us to do. No condemnation means exactly that. No condemnation, no guilt. You are free. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus is a reality that Christians would do well to remind ourselves of every single day. If you want an inspirational quote for your wall or the gym or a coffee mug, to help you with your New Year's resolution, print this one on your wall or on your daily coffee mug. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I know the spelling's wrong. Don't look too closely at the spelling. There is not a mug on the entire internet that has this verse on it. I had to try and make this with AI image generation. Looks like there's still some kinks to work out, probably with the user, But there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a great thing to be reminded of. Now, a quick sidebar. This no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus sounds great, but how do I know if I am in Christ Jesus? Or how do I get to be in Christ Jesus if I know I'm not? This is a fantastic question and one that really we're going to just quickly answer. Come with me a couple of pages to the right or swipe to the right, Romans 10, verse 9. It says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is no condemnation. So in order to be in Jesus, all you have to do is declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. This is not an incantation or a magic spell or just, you know, three words like this, like, you know, Jack's three magic beans. Declaring Jesus is Lord is acknowledging that Jesus is God the Son, sent from heaven by God the Father to be the sin offering, to take the death penalty that we read about in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 3. Declaring Jesus is Lord is acknowledging that you are deserving of death because of your sin. That is, Your rejection of God and the many ways that that manifests itself in our thoughts and words and actions. And by being that sin offering in our place, Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death, no longer condemned. Declaring Jesus is Lord is acknowledging that he is your maker, your savior, your king, and that you declare allegiance to Jesus and no other. Now you might be able to mouth the words, Jesus is Lord. They're three simple words. But you'll only be able to believe them in your heart by the leading of God the Spirit. Something that this part of Romans chapter 8 talks a lot about, doesn't it? So come back with me to Romans 8 and follow along with me from verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If you're ready to make this declaration today, and the Spirit of God is enabling you to believe them in your heart, and don't let the greatest day of your life slip by. It might be the last day of the year, but it could well be the greatest day of your life. Tell someone, anyone, me after the service, whoever you talk to will help you say these things in a simple prayer, and we will welcome you into Christ Jesus, and you will have a new identity to take on into 2024. Which brings us to that second point. As Christians who are in Christ Jesus, we have a wonderful new identity because we are united with him. We are in Jesus, and Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is in us. Romans 8, I'll just come back to verse 9 with me. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, that is, condemned to death, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to you life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. How good is that? Now here's some hope for change that I can have confidence in. Because here's where I think that my mantra of less pain, more joy, just a little bit short-sighted, isn't it? One, it's a pretty selfish mantra to begin with. It's all about me. My less pain for me, more joy for me. It's pretty selfish. And secondly, it totally ignores the identity that I have in Christ. If you desire to see change in 2024, it's not by slogans or more effort. It's going to be by the Spirit of God living in you. Let's think about this for a minute. For nearly 50 years, the battle has been the same for me. Not doing the things that I want to do to love God and others. And then there's the things that I didn't want to do, but I did. Do you think that anything that I do in 2024 is likely to bring about the change if I haven't been able to do it already? The Spirit of God, on the other hand, well, the Spirit of God was there at the creation of the world. The Spirit descended in power on Jesus at his baptism. The Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness. The Spirit supplied the energy for Jesus' mighty works. The Spirit animated Jesus' whole life and ministry. And we read here, this is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. This is the same Spirit that Christians have in us. So if we want to see change in our lives, do you want to rely on yourself or the Spirit of God? If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. What a wonderful truth. one of the Netflix series that I did stay up past midnight watching was about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Something that he talked about a lot was his mindset as he went achieving his goals. Now, I didn't go back and re-watch it to get his exact words, but it was pretty much something along the lines of, and I won't do the accent, I'll save you that. Yeah. He said, I pictured it, and I believed it, and I made it happen. That was his mantra through all of the things. He wanted to have the biggest muscles and the best body in the world. He had pictures on his wall. He took on the identity of a champion. He trained hard. He changed his diet. He injected the right steroids, and he made it happen. It's true. He actually said it on the program. I'm not making that up. He wanted to be a Hollywood movie star. So he took on the identity and mindset of a movie star, and he made it happen. He wanted to be governor of California. So he became a champion of the people on the platform of climate change and was voted in as governor. He made it happen. Most docos that you watch about champions will have that flavor. They took on the mindset and the identity of being a champion, and they made it happen. So yeah, some people with immense willpower can become champions. But that's the thing about champions, they're only ever one at the top, isn't it? And at any rate, unless they are in Christ Jesus, they are still condemned. We have an identity in Jesus. God the Son, and we have the God the Spirit living in us. Those who are in Christ Jesus, we have all we need to bring about the changes in 2024, because it's the Spirit that is enabling us and fulfilling an identity that we already have. See, Arnie was seeking an identity. Christians, we already have one. Understanding and remembering this identity in Jesus is huge as we think about change and perhaps some habits that you might want to change next year. And this idea of identity shaping our actions, it's also picked up in this popular book, Atomic Habits. I finally got around to reading it this year, most of it. James Clear writes, your habits are how you embody your identity. When you make your bed each day, you embody the identity of an organized person. When you write each day, you embody the identity of a creative person. When you train each day, you embody the identity of an athletic person. Arnie had to become a world champion. And this advice about becoming a type of person or embodying an identity is about something we don't yet have for ourselves. But we already have an identity in Jesus. Let's go and live it out. Let's go and embody this identity that we have. So what is this identity? Romans 8 lays it out there on the table for us. Verse 14, follow along with me again. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glory. Let's not set our sights so low that we just aim for less pain and more joy. Let's seek to live out, to embody the identity that we have in Jesus, and not on our own efforts, but by setting our minds on what the Spirit desires. See, Christians are God's children. Let's ask the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead to change us so that we might embody his identity. Christians are heirs of God. Let's ask the Spirit who descended so powerfully on Jesus at his baptism to let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our lives too. Let's not let our New Year's resolutions be so trivial about health or financial stability or personal development. Let's make our New Year's resolutions to one, work out if you are in the realm of condemnation or no condemnation. That's a biggie. And then to embody the identity that those with no condemnation already have in Jesus. Now, I know it's always nice to have a nice concrete idea to take away. And so this is the one practical application that I think comes out of Romans 8, and particularly from this identity mind shift, and it's there starting at verse 5. Let's read it. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So what will you set your minds on in 2024? Things that you desire or things the Spirit desires? Which one embodies your identity in Jesus? What will you fill your minds with in 2024? Things that bring about death or the things that bring about life and peace? Which one embodies your identity in Jesus? What will you let your mind dwell on in 2024? Things that are hostile to God or things that please God? Which one embodies your identity in Jesus? I mentioned briefly before that to let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our lives too. Let's finish with having a quick look at the fruit of the Spirit, the things a mind governed by the Spirit might expect to grow in. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What will you set your mind on in 2024? Now, you can still set practical goals next year, but make sure that they are in step with the Spirit. So maybe some practical goals, maybe you're still determined to be less busy in your week in order to let the Spirit grow you in forbearance. Maybe you're determined to go to the gym or walk the dog every day in order to let the Spirit grow you in gentleness. Because you know that the body that God has given you, when you go and sweat and get out some energy, you are a much better person. That's something that I've learned this year. And I go to get to the gym every couple of days, and I can tell you I'm a much better husband and father and friend, and it's working in step with the Spirit. Maybe you're determined to spend time in God's Word in order to let the Spirit grow you in love. Love for His Word, for Jesus and for others. Maybe you'll listen to Christian music so that when you get a song stuck in your head, it won't be that song from the radio, but it will be full of wonderful truths like this. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross. He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Those who are in Christ have no condemnation. And we have an identity in Jesus that doesn't need to be earned or achieved. We have an identity in Jesus, and yet it cost Him His life. What will you set your mind on in 2024? I'm going to pray. How about you pray along with me? Gracious Father, it's so liberating knowing that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for making us your children, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We're sorry for the times that we fall short of this wonderful identity. Please keep bringing us back to your cross, where you promise forgiveness and mercy. Thank you that you have given us your Spirit, that we might grow into this identity in Jesus as the Spirit changes our hearts. Let our minds work with the Spirit rather than against the Spirit by what we fill it with and what we dwell on in 2024. Amen.